Today we are blessed to have a guest speaker to preach a New Year's message to us. Reverend Bernard Reyes Henson served the Lord as a pastor for 6 years right after seminary training. He has been the National Director of Evangelism Explosion, or EE, since 1983. Evangelism Explosion is a ministry that equips pastors, missionaries, church leaders, and believers on how to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are blessed with two adult sons, Carl Evans and Kevin Matthew, who are both medical doctors. He is married to Dr. Raquel Rivera, a dentist, and they reside in Pasig City, Metro Manila. So church, let us all welcome in our midst Pastor Bernard Henson.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Thank you, Pastor TJ, again for the privilege to stand behind your pulpit and to study the Word of God together today. I had the privilege of meeting the Sabadista group last night. Sabadista because they meet on Saturdays. And I also happened to meet the good praise and worship team. Where are you? You did another good job today. Now you are free to go and shop at Ayala. Okay? Pastor TJ, you may also go and sleep while I speak this morning. You look good today. I like your smile, except for one that's planning to sleep now at the back. Okay? Well, beloved, have you looked at the 2018 calendar yet? Who has received his or her calendar at home or at the office? Meron na? Very good. A few of you. Now, which of the dates did you check first? Usually, birthdays, anniversaries. Oh, when is the long weekend holidays coming in this country? Or you probably look at the paydays, the 15th or the 30th. Well, lately, I thought about our inability to know what the future holds for all of us. Some people have for many years relied upon fortune tellers. I never had an opportunity, and I never will consult a fortune teller in my life. But just like anyone, I would probably have listened well, especially if the fortune teller will tell me some stuff that I wanted to hear. Okay? Beloved, we are in kilometer 2018. We face another new year. We all wish this will be a very good year. But will this be a good one? How do we define good anyway? Will it be a good year if it includes pain and trials? Will we still call it good? Let's find out the answer. Our text today is found on 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 6 to 11, and I have requested our brother, dear Sherwin, to please show us the text on the screen. And I would like to ask everyone to stand and read this together aloud. Okay, are you ready? Go. If we are afflicted, let's commit this time to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for the joy of fellowship. Fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. Thank you for allowing us to be with your family today, but more importantly, for allowing us to enjoy your greatness, your goodness, your care, your love, your protection, and for good health. As we come to the study of your word this morning, I pray that you will speak to each one of us, minister and meet very specific needs, and that you will bless us beyond what we have asked. Father, bless your word. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for the blessed Holy Spirit to minister to us in a very, very special way. And we will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Dr. John MacArthur said that many Christians have acquired the notion that hardships should not even cross their paths. Some actually believe that trials and sufferings are not from God. Today, In our study, I want us to go to the only authority that we have, God's Word, on the subject of suffering and trials. Now, you're probably saying, Pastor, it's the first Sunday of New Year. We're talking about suffering and trials. And you will understand why later on. Reverend Edmund Chan of Singapore said in one of his books that pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. Now, anyway, what are some of the experiences that we go through in life? One of our staff sent me a text message, January 2, saying, Sir, you prayed for my dad. The Lord answered that prayer. He took my dad away. He just went home to heaven a few hours ago. The family is now in bereavement. Broken relationships. Unfaithful husband or wife. Boy or girlfriend walking out. Again, 3 days ago, I received a message through Messenger from a young man who's working as a chef in a cruise liner in the U.S., saying, Pastor, pray for me. My girlfriend broke up with me. Financial struggles, businesses failing, loss of cherished job or waiting for a job that never materializes. Then we have health issues. I was telling Pastor TJ coming here that, Pastor, I'm so happy the Lord is raising you up to lead, to rise up, because we senior citizens are now nearing the pre-departure area of life. We have health issues here and there. Depression that won't go away, or grief over the death of a loved one, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Beloved, pain comes, but we do not have to live with lives that are miserable. You see, when bad things happen that just don't make sense, what are we to do? And so we always ask the question, why me? Why now? Why this? Someone said that these are not good questions to ask, for they lead to speculation at best and depression at worst. Let's look at how Apostle Paul shared about his sufferings and affliction based on the passage that we're considering this morning. Actually, our passage talks about how to cope up with trials and burdens and problems. But I thought that before we do that, let's understand why do we have to have trials in life. Okay? Why the Lord allows trials in a believer's life. And I have about 8, and I'm going to go through this very, very quickly, that before you fall asleep, I'm done with first part. Number one, the Lord allows trials is because He wanted to test the strength of our faith. This means testing the validity of what the believers profess. In the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10, he says, But he knows the way that I take when he has tried me, and I shall come out as gold. This was the testimony of a man who lost practically everything that is essential for his living and his family and himself. The best illustration of this is also Father Abraham. At an old age, for example, God promised a son, yet that son was to be sacrificed by him. Someone asked, Pastor, if God is all-knowing, why does he need to know the content of our hearts? The answer, God knows. He knows. He doesn't have to ask, but he wants us to realize and know what is inside that heart. You know, in the Holy Land, in Israel, also in the Netherlands, and maybe some other countries where they have these diamond factories, there is a kind of test that they do if indeed the diamond is genuine or imitation or whatever. And they use what they call the water test. Genuine diamonds sparkle brilliantly in the water, while fake ones loses practically all its sparkle. And the Lord has sometimes had to do that with our own lives. Secondly, is to teach us humility. God uses suffering to remind me and you not to think confidently of our spiritual strength than we should. You remember Apostle Paul praying 3 times and asking the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh? To preserve his humility, he was struck with a very painful and chronic problem physically. And yet he was in the center of God's will. Thirdly, to win us away from materialism or worldly things. You see, we live in a very materialistic society. Because materialism can be a stumbling block for believers, the Lord allows trials. And as we progress in Christian life, we realize that material things are not that significant. The things most desirable in life, we gradually lose them as we become aware that they cannot solve major problems or alleviate great anxieties. I accompanied my sister-in-law the other day. We went to Globe Telecom. She was so excited to receive her iPhone 10. And then I said, you know what? After 1 week, that iPhone 10 does not give you excitement anymore. Because you will be waiting for iPhone 11 or iPhone 24. A brand new car that you have now, you force yourself to buy one because of the upcoming excise tax beginning January 1. Oh, that car will be considered as an old car 2 months from now, and you desire to have another one. Certain trials will confirm the material things are inadequate to meet our deepest needs or to provide any true resources for our pain. Example of this would be Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. You see, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated by the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Oh, there is indeed pleasure in doing sin, but it is very short. Number 4 is to call us to a greater realization of our eternal hope. The Lord allows trials in our lives to show us that there is an eternal hope waiting for us. I was a pastor for almost 7 years, and you know, death would come to my members' families or their relatives, and as a pastor, I would say, oh, condolence. But I really did not understand what they were going through by the loss of someone close to them. Not until death came to my own family, with my eldest sister dying after giving birth to her 3rd baby. And then I realized, now this is what pain is for those who lost someone. And after that, I began longing for heaven. And I say, someday, I'm going to heaven. Of course, I'm not in a hurry to go to heaven. Are you? I can help you. It's easy. Okay, but if you've got someone, you know, that is now enjoying the presence of the Lord, oh, you feel that, oh, with all this pain that I have in my body, on my body, they will all be gone because someday the Lord is going to give me the perfect answer, the perfect healing to all my pain in life. Heaven. Realization of a greater hope in heaven. Number 5, to show us what we really love. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. In this passage, Jesus was saying that we must love God and Christ so much that by comparison, they will seem to hate themselves and their families. And there will be times in our life that we need to push aside any and all appeals from family members that would keep us from giving first priority to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 6, to teach us the value of blessing or the blessing of God. Obedience to God at all costs in the middle of a difficult trial leads to the blessings of God. Oh, I don't have time to go through this. I don't have time to elaborate. But maybe one time you want to talk with me and I'll share with you. Jesus Christ is the perfect model for this. Even he, the Son of God, had to suffer and die. And because of that, he was exalted by God. Number 7, to enable us to help others in their suffering. Similar to what I shared about experience of having death in the family, we understand better. You can say, oh, I have gone through that. I know what it feels. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. And then lastly, number 8, to develop in us enduring strength for greater usefulness. There is a saying that goes like this. The worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace. In the 1990s, early 1990, were you alive then? Were you born then, 1990? I was very young then, in the 1990, okay. During the Persian Gulf War, sophisticated missiles were tested. They performed brilliantly. Now, conversely, warfare situations like that also reveal defects in equipments or shortcomings in how troops perform. And so they saw the need for improvement on weaknesses, similar to what our Philippine military experienced during the Marawi crisis. What did the military tell us? Oh, our military is very well trained in jungle warfare, but not in urban centers. And so they had difficulty, especially since the enemies had prepared for so long that nobody even were able to detect it. Let us now go into how we cope up with trials. Okay? So now you understand why? Let's learn how. Are you still okay? Is the message long already? I can come back next year if you feel it's long already and you're sleepy, you're hungry. Okay? Okay, if it's okay, then this will be a very short one. I'm going to share with you 5 keys, Susi, on how we cope up with trials. I'm sure somehow, somewhere, you have heard messages on this. Allow me to read verses 6 and 7b. And Apostle Paul is talking here. He said, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Now, I do realize, number one, that this is not a very familiar passage for all of us. Probably you have somehow studied this in Sunday school or group study, or maybe when you had your quiet time on this passage, you just flipped through it, you were not so much interested. But this passage is very rich, and it is God's way that we discuss it this morning to encourage your heart. The first thing I like to share about this is this. Trials are a fact of life. Trials are part of our existence. You see, the word suffering and affliction appeared 8 times in this passage. It is not unspiritual, for your information, my dearly beloved, that you and I experience what we call bad days. So stop, quit fighting your trials. You need to face them. Some of us think that trials are for bad sinners only. Incidentally, this is not the reality of life. Face the reality that bad times do come. I have followed the Lord. I gave my life at the age of 18, and now I am very old. I still experience this a little bit from time to time. Okay? Just a little bit. But what happens is not important as how you perceive what happens to you, small or big. How do you respond to what happens to you? You see, the natural tendency is to run away. And you know, we are influenced by mass media, you know, when they say something like, oh, it's humid in Metro Manila. You escape from the heat. You go to Baguio. Yeah, you go to Baguio because now it only takes about maybe 4 or 5 hours to drive to Baguio. But when you get to Baguio, you're caught in traffic for 4 to 5 hours also. So you escape from the Metro Manila traffic. My office is about 7 or 8 kilometers away from my home. And I pass through Ortigas Avenue every day. Oh, how I wish I have a kitchen on my car and I can cook my lunch there while on traffic. Some try to escape from it and in the process makes it more complex. Face it. After all, the Lord is with you. Secondly, key number 2, know your trials, verse 7c. So also you share in our comfort. Now know that there is comfort with and in God. It is rooted in His character of His marvelous mercy. I'm sure you do realize that you came to church today because you are begging God for a blessing. God is a God of blessing. He will bless you. And we don't have to beg God for a blessing. Now, every trial that finds its way into our life comes from God's intentional purpose. I repeated that statement last night, and I like to do that. I like to say it again for the second time once more. Okay? Every trial that finds its way into our life comes with God's intentional purpose. There is nothing that happens in one's life that caught God by surprise. You know, there was a new Christian. He went into planting peaches. Peaches, you know, the one you eat, not beaches where you swim, okay? Peaches. Forgive me if my diction is not as good as Jun Nalipay, okay, who is my son here. So, he went into planting peaches. He invested everything he had. He worked hard on it, and it blossomed beautifully. He expected a great harvest, but he was devastated when a frost came and destroyed his entire crop. Result? Reaction? He gave up on God, and he stopped going to church. I wonder how many are not in church today because nagtatampo kay God. Okay? His pastor visited him, but he told his pastor this, "Pastor, I'm not coming to church anymore. How can I worship God? How can I worship a God who cares so little for me that he would let a frost destroy all my peaches?" And this seems to be a current problem in the United States and in Canada today because of the very bitter cold that they are experiencing. Now, Filipinos, I know you love to wear your jackets. But that jacket that you bought from the Ukay-Ukay will not help you with the kind of temperature that they are experiencing in northeast of North America. How can a God not care for me? You know what his pastor said and told him? Son, God loves you. God loves you more than he loves your peaches. For God understands that while peaches can grow without frost, men cannot grow without trials. You agree? God is not in the business of growing peaches. He's in the business of growing Christians, of growing believers. So if you're going to come up with a New Year's resolution, the number one in that list should be, Lord, allow me to grow deep and deeper in my relationship with you. I want to know you more. This 2018. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, a few verses ahead of our text, God reveals himself as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, I checked this. And the original is in the plural form, mercies. In Tagalog, kahabagan, mga kahabagan ng Diyos. And this does not mean many mercies or many kinds of mercies, but this is used, while it is in the plural form, yes, but it is used in the qualitative sense, meaning it talks about a God who is exceedingly merciful. Our God is the most merciful Father and the most comforting God. And that is His character. Praise Him! Praise Him! But why mercies? Why not compassions? Why not grace? Why not provisions or even love? Answer, we seek God for justice when it is in fact His mercy that we need in our lives. When trouble comes, our natural instincts is to think, oh, I don't deserve this, Lord. I definitely don't deserve this. Yes, the truth is we do. Why? Because we are all part of a fallen world and we suffer the consequences of sin. Much worse could have come, but God mercifully withholds a bigger or greater devastation and loss. God withheld it. Beloved, even in your trials, even in my trials, listen, God intends His best for you and for me. And the Word of God promises us that the test will not be beyond our capability of endurance. That is promised in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Even with temptations that come daily, He has the way of escape for us. Key number three, do His will. Key number three, do His will. Question, where was Apostle Paul when he encountered his trials in the midst of doing God's will? Where was he? You see, physically, he was in Asia on a mission trip. He was not on a grand holiday in a beach in France or somewhere else. He was in the center of God's will. You see, as counselors, as pastors, we always encourage people, live your life and seek to find your life in the very center of God's will. By that, we did not mean, and we do not mean, that you will be freed and you will escape trials and pressures of life. You see, this means that one could be living. You and I could be living in the center of God's will, yet God will allow trials. Bakit may mga pastors magkaka-cancer when they are doing and they are in the center of God's will? How will we populate heaven if we don't die? And that's our place, that's our home. This not Cebu, correct? Why does God allow trials even in the midst of God's will or living God's will? Why? You know why? Because in our darkest moments, God does His deepest work. And that deepest work is in building us. As believers, you know, this what we call in theology, the process of sanctification and our walk with Him. He deepens our character and our walk with Him. So what must we desire? We must desire the will of God, not just pursue His will, but to prefer His will, which means to do His will. And the world entices us to seek more pleasure, to seek more treasure, and to seek more leisure. Beloved, God wants us to seek His will. For God's will, according to Romans, is good, acceptable, and perfect. Key number four. I'm almost done. Kunting tiis na lang. Hang on a little bit more. Trust in God. I like this. Trust in God. Verse 9. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Oh, it's an ugly experience, Apostle Paul is saying. How we wish we did not have to go through that. But there is a reason. You see, human instinct dictates that we trust in ourselves. I say to us this morning, stop trusting ourselves and learn to trust in God instead. One sure way to do this is to cultivate a life of worship. Before coming to church this morning, did you spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, enjoying Him, worshiping Him, probably in the privacy of your room? Did you have time to go to His Word? You see, countless testimonies have shown that out of the darkness of life comes worship. You probably heard the song Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. In 1993, Darlene Sheck experienced a dark season in her life. Then she went to the Word of God, and Psalms chapter 96 was her blessing. And out of that experience, she wrote this song. Out of a deep, deep, deep need, she worshiped the Lord. Shout to the Lord. You remember the song, I Love You, Lord, I Lift My Voice and Worship You? I wish I can sing this. I love you, Lord. Okay? And I lift my voice. No, I should stop. The last time I sang was during my wedding 37 years ago, and my wife almost did not want to march in to meet me at the altar. Lori Klein was going through a dark patch in life. She picked up her guitar, and out of her heart came this song. Again, in the midst of trials, she worshiped God. What are you going through these days? What are the circumstances? If you are here, in spite of, and you are worshiping God, congratulations. That's the best. You heard the song, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. Brian Dorksen had lost his home and about $1 million. And to compound matters, he had six children, but three of them had been diagnosed with a form of mental retardation. As he prayed near Wimbledon Stadium in London, UK, God comforted him and he wrote the song. Three out of six with mental retardation. If one of my two sons have fever, I begin to worry. Three out of six, and yet he worshiped God. The song, God Will Make a Way, Don Moen. Now, I heard from a pastor friend, Pastor Prisco, that there is a counterpart here of Don Moen in Cebu called Dodong Muin, okay, who also leads in praise and worship. I want to meet him, okay? I don't know if he's a composer. But Don Moen was on an airplane going to sing, not on a usual concert, but at the funeral of his young nephew. It had been a tragic and untimely death in a terrible car accident. And as he went to the Word of God, he went to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Maybe you want to take note of that. Go to that verse. And this verse says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God gave Don Moen the song out of a very sad experience. And he worshiped God. Beloved, let's worship God no matter what. Amen? Amen? Oh, you're sleeping. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then lastly, number five. Now you can say, ha, praise the Lord. Lunch is coming. Yay! Okay? Number five, hold fast to God's faithfulness. Verse 10. I like this verse. I like this. What does it say? Who delivered us, past tense, will deliver us, future tense, and He will yet deliver us. So once God has done something for you, you know, it's like when you share your blessing, your offering, your tithes, and you've given it all, it doesn't mean that's it. You've given your tithe first Sunday, then for the rest of the year, God will not bless you anymore. Correct? Now, you don't agree. Okay, I understand. But I'm going to disprove that to you. Okay? The Lord is going to disprove. disprove. Paul found strength because he held on to God's track record of faithfulness in his life. God delivered him in the past, and this led to a deep and abiding conviction of God's future deliverance. He had full confidence that God would be true and faithful, that he could say with confidence that God will still deliver. I don't have time to really go through details. Just very briefly, when I was introduced this morning, Pastor TJ mentioned my position, my work as the national director of a national ministry called Evangelism Explosion. These last few weeks have been very, very exciting weeks for the ministry and for myself. You see, as a ministry, we are a faith-based ministry. We don't have foundations that provide thousands of pesos or dollars. We rely upon God for every single cent that the ministry needs to operate. And so, our staff receive very small support. However, the EE Board of Trustees, composed of about 9 men, has decreed that because the support of the staff is rather small, that even carabaos will cry when they hear it. How much? Okay. The board said, let's trust the Lord that toward the end of the year, we will be able to provide at least an extra month of blessing to our staff. Incidentally, that responsibility of raising that fund is on my shoulder, as I am responsible to raise the support all throughout the year. As early as January 2017, I began praying for the Lord's provision. And month after month, week after week, daily, we go to the Lord in prayer. Few days prior to the due date for us to release the small 50% of the bonus, we had simply no fund to do it. While I was in a meeting at about 11:30 in the morning, I received a Facebook message on my messenger saying, Pastor Bernard, good morning. Will you please check EE's account because we deposited something for the ministry. We needed $150,000. When the guy came back from the bank, the Lord sent 200,000 pesos. We were excited. We released the 50%. The Lord is faithful. I am very rich with experiences like that. If you want to hear, let's go to Ayala later when it's open, okay? And what's exciting about it is the family who gave is going through this whole 2017 is going through a deep, deep, deep crisis of health, but they worship God. When I found out about it, I said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And this is the response. Pastor Bernard, it was not ours, but it was a privilege to be able to give and share in a ministry that is deeply close to the heart of God. Tears began rolling down my cheeks in thanksgiving. First half done. Last day of the working for the year, work day for the year was December 22. And so again, I was praying every day, Lord, provide the second half. I know you will. I know you will because the last 34 years, you provided. I know you will. Just like what Apostle Paul was saying, he will yet deliver us. He will yet deliver us. Now, since we cannot afford Christmas parties just like the PCSO, because we don't have either 6 or 10 million, said, just order pizza. One piece of pizza, 6 people will share. No, hindi naman ganun. That's too small. Okay. Anyway, then they had parlor games, and then just after I led in prayer, I shared the last devotion for the year, and then we went to the Lord in prayer, and in my prayer, very specifically, Lord, we have always relied upon you. I don't know your will this time, but we will not hold it against you if you so decide that we will not have the second part of the bonus. We will celebrate Christmas the way that you wanted us to, and we will be happy. But if it is your will, provide. That was my prayer. So at 3:45, the devotion was done. Then they had some parlor games. And then 5:45, I was on my way out of my office, passing by my secretary's table, and I said, will you please check, because a Living Word Church in Dumaguete, their pastor, who used to be our worker, texted me a day or two ago, and he said, Pastor, our last giving for this quarter has been, I think, released to your account. Okay? And then my secretary looked. She said, Sir, there is no amount from the church in Dumaguete yet. However, she said, there is an entry of another 200,000 pesos. I said, will you please check with the bank? We know where the money was deposited, somewhere in Manila, but until now, January 7, we don't know who sent the funds. So I announced to the staff, as Apostle Paul said, he will deliver, I have delivered, and he will yet deliver. The Lord provided, and we praise God. The Lord's answer came even before we finished asking and praying. Have you experienced that? Oh, many times in my life. You know, I suggest this 2018, you buy a notebook probably, use it as your journal. In your devotions, you write, say, January 9, Lord, these are my requests, salvation for my loved ones. And then you see on the other side of the page when God will deliver the answer to you. It is always God's will. It is God's will that loved ones will come to Him. I am working in an evangelism ministry. I know. Sometimes it takes 20 years, but before the answer comes, you will have to make adjustments yourselves. Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be ironed out first. God uses trials to fulfill His purpose for us. He has at least four major purposes for trials: to draw us close, to set us free, to use us more, or all of the above. Martin Luther said, "Were it not for tribulation, I would not have understood the Scriptures. Surely, God brings out His good in the wake of trials. For He turns our trials to triumphs. And trials are not stumbling blocks, but stepping stones of faith. Let us trust His sovereignty in our lives." When I say that, I mean believing that there is nothing that will happen in us this year that is unknown to God. Nothing that will come as a surprise to Him. A young child walking with his father in an empty space, okay, like in a park. As there was light, the son ran ahead of his father. You know, I imagine Marco, for example, that young age, playing and not thinking of his dad, TJ. Yet as soon as darkness closes in, he would run back to his father and reach for his daddy's big hand. And just like that young child, his father, trusting his father. Beloved, you and I must begin to yield our future to God and to God alone who holds the future, instead of stubbornly holding out for what you want. Start praying, Lord, have your way in my life. Oh yes, it's okay that you don't see the future. It's okay that you don't know what will happen in August or September or November this year. Why? Because God's grace is given out on a daily basis. Just for today, Corrie ten Boom often said that her father never gave her the ticket until it was time to board the train. Now, except the one in Metro Manila, the MRT. You may have the ticket, you may be able to board, but you don't know if you get to your destination alive. Except MRT. Beloved, that's how God dispenses His grace. Just enough for today. He knows what we need far better than we do. We can count on the faithfulness of the Lord no matter what life brings. And finally, I'd like to leave two Bible verses that have been meaningful to me these last 2 weeks. Before New Year's Eve, I shared this with my family. Psalms 32, verse 8. Maybe you just want to write the reference. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough for you and for me? And then, lastly, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord Himself goes before you, and I will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And here is God's encouragement. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Another encouragement. Do not be discouraged. You have a mighty living God, and He is more than enough for you and for me. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Some of us might be living in fear, considering circumstances that we're going through, that we had gone through the past year. We don't know the steps to make. We sometimes are scared to make decisions because we may fail, we may make mistakes, but that's part of growing up. Father, we seek to be in the center of your will, but even then, you work totally different from us. We wish this thing happened this way, but God may have a different perspective. Therefore, the only thing left with us is to completely trust you. We may not understand things. That's okay, because Christian life is not a life of explanations. It is a life of faith. It is walking with Jesus, not ahead of Him, not behind Him, but walking hand in hand with the sweet Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for your richest blessings upon my brothers and sisters. Lord, I incidentally do not know the circumstances in their lives today, the needs that they have. But Father, if they have established that relationship with you as their personal Lord and Savior by repenting of their sins and inviting you into their lives by faith, then you do care so much for each one of them as you care for me. Father, what a joy it is that while there are uncertainties in life, we will begin holding on to your hand who knows the future and who loves us beyond the way that we love ourselves. We love you, dear Jesus. Forgive us if we have doubted you. Forgive us if we lived in fear. We may have lost many opportunities, and we may never be able to recover them, but with you, we can start all over again. Lord, will you allow us to start all over again this 2018? Maybe we be more serious in our loving relationship with you, in our worship of you, in our service of you, in our stewardship life. Oh God, thank you for new beginnings in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.